In those two passages, the Apostle Paul, who knows a thing or two about how tough life can be, aimed to be an encouragement. He aimed to pick up Christians who themselves were finding life tough, and they were therefore being distracted from that life God had called them to. And his encouragement was therefore to see the bigger picture, not to lose sight of their calling, a life and what life was really about, which was a service to God, the God who would save them. So he called them to press on, to run the race, to look to the good things, to hold on to them, to look to their God and to rejoice in the process, to look to the God who would be their strength in the presence of all these challenges. And in the process, he says, you would find peace. You would find a peace that is beyond imagination. In our prayer time on Thursday, we came quietly, humbly, inviting God to shape our lives and to set a direction as we go through 2023. It was personal. It was powerful. There was honesty and there was humility before Almighty God. It was a good thing. This morning, I want to think a little bit more about that and invite us to think about ways in which we might invite God to lead us in and through all those challenges of 2023 as we move forward. It's been an interesting year so far, hasn't it? There have been some remarkable and strange things going on. Did you hear, for example, about the cow that got stuck in a water pot? Hear about that? You don't believe me, do you? Well, watch the video. Here's the guy, the water pot's in front of him, and he's hitting it with a hammer. And why is he hitting it with a hammer? Well, he's not doing it quickly enough. Because there is a cow inside the water pot. And the cow has been released. Just one of the bizarre stories. Did you hear about the fox with two legs found in a garden? Here it is. Isn't this stunning? A fox with two legs coping, filmed in somebody's back garden. Just two of the stranger stories, but there's been a lot happening in 2023 so far. The UK has joined the space race. We've had our first launch from the United Kingdom. The launch itself was successful. 14 satellites were being launched into orbit. Unfortunately, when it came to the second stage rocket deploying, there was a technical fault, and none of it went into orbit where it was supposed to be. A complete waste. And then at the start of the year, there was a funeral that so many people attended for the king that had died. Not that king, not King Charles III, but the king of football, Pelé, died. And in Brazil, there was this overwhelming grief and people came to his funeral. Bit closer to home, and in more recent days in particular, European governments have been trying to decide on some major things. Should they or should they not send tanks and heavy weapons into Ukraine to help Ukraine as they defend themselves against the Russian invasion? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is it going to lead to escalation? Then, even closer to home, the government has been in trouble again. It has been judged by its own auditors on all those steps it put into place to mark and ensure that there was encouragement and recovery for the environment. And their auditors have said the government has failed in almost every step of the way. And then you'll all know that there is huge discontent in the nation at the moment. Almost everybody seems to be on strike, public workers at least. People are feeling underpaid and undervalued. And there's a theme there. Others are feeling undervalued. Harry feels like a spare part in the royal family, and others are feeling overworked, including premiers. The Premier of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, has just stepped down. She feels burned out. She's got nothing left in the tank. And my personal start to the new year didn't end exactly as I hoped it would. It ended with me having, it started rather with me having COVID. I've mentioned just in that little summary for 1 minute of a whole range of issues, some of them huge, of global significance and importance, some very personal, some nothing, amusing stories, small, insignificant, trivial. So let me ask you, which of those things would you have invited God to be a part? Which would you expect to find God in? Which of these would you ask God to give you guidance to help you through or give you a godly response to? Any of the little things or just the big stories? I'm going to suggest the answer should be in everything. In everything that we come across through our day, the big and the small. Let me just give you a few reflections very, very simply on some of those things I've just mentioned. The simple, amusing stories that we looked at the beginning, the fox with two legs. The thought that went through my head was, isn't God's creation stunning? We see determination, we see adaptability, we see resilience. And I asked myself the question, if something like that were to happen in my life, would I have the same resilience? The cow in a water pot. I mean, once you've gone your head past the obvious question, how did the cow, you know where I'm going. When you've sorted that one out, what else strikes you? For me, it was the commitment of these guys. They were Khmer. It's in Cambodia. This is Buddhism, animism. People are saying that that animal is important and it needs to be rescued. If this was in a community in India, it would have been a holy cow. And it made me think of what commitment we might make. And then it struck me, what about that water pot? In a poor community where poverty is rife, someone's got to replace that water pot. What cost? And the thought that went through my mind was the story, the incident that Jesus pointed out, the woman, the widow, giving two mites in her temple offering. He spoke and he said, other people give out of their wealth and it doesn't touch them, but this woman is giving everything that she has. It might seem small to you, to me, but she was giving everything. So were these guys. The national stories. Is the space race a vanity project? What about the cost of all of that? And internationally, Ukraine. What a mess. Loss of life. What a huge problem. Can you begin to get your head around the rights and wrongs of all of that? Here's the thing that struck me here. People complain a lot about the cost of living. Do you realize by far the biggest impact on the cost of living is that war in Ukraine? The thing that struck me is, am I taking this to God seriously? If I'm not praying, maybe I ought not to be complaining about the cost of living. Why do we take these things to God? And then the discontent. Price is rising, so strikes coming, people want more pay. It's a complex issue, or maybe it's black and white to you, depending on where you read your news sources. Have you taken sides? Is it good? Is it bad? Here's the thought that went through my mind and I've been wrestling with. Income does not define you or value you. If it did, for me right now, I might be thinking of myself as worthless. It is something I wrestle with, especially with these constant reminders. I wrestle with this every day. How do you feel? Where does your value come from? And then to the personal things, illness. For me, it was COVID. It wasn't too bad and it's gone, it's behind me. But for many in our fellowship, for many of you, illness, frailty, age constraints will be a dominating factor. How do you deal with that? Where do you find God in that? Apart from asking him to make it all better, how do we process all of these things? Do you find disappointment, anger sometimes? Do you feel overwhelmed? It's what Lorinda was praying into. The question I ask to all of us this morning is, how are you finding and then responding to God in all the things of life, the big, the small? Or do you see them as separate from God because they are not? I believe that God wants to shape your life in 2023 in all the things that happen around you, the big stuff and the small stuff, not just the major at times in our lives when we are baptized, when we first join a church, when something huge happens, but in the everyday and the ordinary. So I want this morning to look at the example of a remarkable woman whose life testifies to that. A woman whose name you may have heard of, Amy Carmichael, who was born in 1867, but crucially, she died in this week, which is why I've been prompted by this, in this week in 1951. Looking back at the lives of God's people sometimes allows us to learn lessons from their witness and from their testimony of how they experience God. And I believe that's going to be helpful for us if we are willing to listen to it. So let me tell you about this woman and her example of tireless mission and faithfulness to God. Amy was born in 1867 to a relatively wealthy Presbyterian family in Northern Ireland. She was the oldest of seven children. She was brought up in a loving, happy family home. It was strict, but it was secure. In her teens, the family started to go through financial difficulties, and she had to leave a boarding school and come home and start to help out around the home. That was the beginning of hardship coming. When she was 17, her father died, and the challenges came. She began to struggle with physical pain, with weakness through neuralgia, nerve pain. But all of these things just led her more deeply into God's word and into a life of passionate involvement with God and finding his way in the whole of her life. She developed a longing to serve her King. In her 20s, she served locally amongst the poor in her area. But in 1887, she went to a Keswick convention and heard Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary who'd established the China Inland Mission. And from this, God spoke to her heart and she felt called to the mission field. And she responded with absolute devotion. Initially, she served in Japan. She went to China. She went to Ceylon, Sri Lanka, as it's now known, and eventually spent by far the bulk of her time in that southern tip of India amongst the Tamil people. All of this before we had the air travel that we enjoy that allows us to get to a destination in just a day or two. And while she was out there, she served the Lord through some horrendous hardships. There were political threats. There was the caste system to deal with, new languages, tropical diseases, ailments of a physical nature, lack of finance, and then the constant needs of children. Always more and more children coming to her attention who had needs. She founded the Dahanava Fellowship. It was a community of children who were in danger of being exploited, in danger of being forced to work in the temples and the shrines in the areas that they were living in. Hindu temple children were usually young girls who'd been dedicated to God and then were forced into prostitution to raise money for the priests in the temple. Over the next 5 decades, Amy Carmichael rescued and then raised more than 1,000 of those children. What an impact! What an astonishing impact for God, and yet at such a cost to her. She worked out on the mission field for 55 years without once having a break to come home for furlough. But think about that for a moment. Isn't it easy for us to complain when we don't have opportunity to see family members, when we've not seen them for a few weeks or months, when we had a phone call or a Zoom chat? In these days, no Skype, no Zoom, no phone calls, only sporadic, delayed, often lost letters. Can you imagine? 55 years. And she'd come from a loving, close family. So how does she cope with such big issues? Well, one of the things that she did was she wrote books. She was a prolific writer. And one of the things that I want to share with you is a quote that came from her. She wrote 30 books on her mission experience and on her mission with God. And this is just one of those quotes which she gave. "Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall enjoy much peace. If you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from that clearness of spirit, which is life and peace. In that stillness, you will know what His will is." She was working in a cross-cultural setting. She was working with a different language, in a different culture, in isolation, lots of hardships, all the intensity and the pressure of the humanitarian needs, the children that she knew were at such risk. And Amy made in all of that an absolute priority of setting her heart on God constantly, consistently, an absolute priority to pursue His presence and to know His peace. Because she knew that in order to have a wide impact, she'd need to have and cultivate a deep spirituality. Time with God. And as she did that, she discovered what the Apostle Paul referred to in those passages that we read as a contentment, the secret of contentment that comes recognizing the presence of God in all of those things that you go through, a peace that's beyond understanding, and a calm that just doesn't make sense. Have you got on so far in 2023? In the big stuff, but also in the little things, those little things of life. How have you got on? And how is your appreciation and your recognition of God surrounding you, his presence with you? Are you taking all of those things to him? Is your heart single-mindedly set on knowing God's presence each day? Now, you might respond to me, hang on a second, I'm not retired. I am retired and I'm not on the mission field. Well, actually, you are on the mission field. It's just that your mission field is local. It's just where you are each day. Life is what Amy was talking about. Life is what Paul was talking about. And there isn't a retirement from that. There's just life with God. We're constantly his people on a mission field. And it might just be that your words, your actions, your God-inspired example of life might just be the voice and the examples that can help to bring release for someone that you come across in your daily work who's feeling at the moment captive by something that's going on in their lives. You might say to me that, you know, okay, I'm not dealing with some of those things that she's dealing with. And you're right. None of us are dealing with the huge mission projects that she was dealing with in India. But look again at how Amy saw the ways in which God spoke to her and the ways that he tested her. You might imagine that she faced huge opposition and huge trials, and you'd be right, of course. And she answered those in her life through some of those big things, the willingness to accept a life of being single on the mission field, the willingness to leave a loving home, a familiar and a safe home, the willingness to accept a new life in a dangerous new culture, and the willingness to face the dangers of rescuing some of the most vulnerable people. Of course, one of the things that she was about was removing the livelihoods of the priest. You can imagine the opposition, the persecution she felt. They're the big things. But what's really remarkable about Amy Carmichael is she says it's not necessarily those things that God speaks to me in each day. She talks about being tested most by God in the smaller things of life, the mundane. Let me share with you one more quote from Amy's life. She said, concerning those small things, the best training is to learn to accept everything as it comes, as from him whom our soul loves. The tests are always unexpected things, not great things that can be written up, but the common little rubs of life, silly little things, things you're ashamed of minding even one scrap about. In this reflection, her emphasis is not on the big stuff, the big projects, but on the willingness to be shaped by God, to nurture godly responses in the little, incidental, ordinary events of life, the common little rubs, the silly little nothings, as she refers to them. And it's often in those things that God spoke to her and speaks to us. I wonder whether we're expecting and whether we're open to God speaking to us in those absolutely ordinary things. Last week in our gathering for coffee, Nigel spoke to us about an old man who'd impressed him to testify to just this point. And the old man had got a container of some sort with nuts and bolts in it, and he knocked it off and it went all over the floor, and expecting him to curse and to be stomping up and down. he was impressed by the man just picking them up, putting everything back. I can't remember precisely what the words were that Nigel used. The small things in life through which God can speak and test and mold us. It's often in those mundane things and those things that might go on this year to be real trials for some of you, maybe in health, maybe in other areas. Well, I'm not quite finished with Amy's story because she battled, yes, through some devastating big things, huge bereavements, deep emotional demands, insomnia, heart trouble, hypertension, emotional, physical needs. Trials that again and again taught her what the Apostle Paul had learned. To hear God's response, which said, "My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness." The end of Amy's life would prove exactly that. One October evening in 1931, she was visiting a village she'd not been to before where there was no godly presence at all. She went into a deserted house. She was hoping to take it on as being a new mission opportunity. She went to the back, out into the open, to an area where there was a little latrine, an outhouse, very primitive. And in the process of going there, she tripped and she fell on a very narrow opening to that pit. And she broke her leg, she twisted a spine, and she dislocated her ankle. And she would never recover from that incident. When she got home from the hospital, her world was restricted to just a few steps around her bedroom and the area immediately around that. And she describes herself as feeling, like Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. And all that, having paid a price for wanting to set up a new witness in a very closed, godless town. Well, her loved ones tried to do something about it. They installed a proper bed instead of the mat on the floor that she'd been sleeping on. And she learned to accept this new level of luxury that might make some of us think about things we complain about. And along with that, they brought her flowers and they tried to bless her, these lovely children that she was looking after. All of them hoped and prayed for her recovery, but it never came. After the accident, Amy was confined to that bedroom for the last 20 years of her life. And yet, through that time in the daytime, around every half an hour, despite constant pain, she saw family members and came and listened to them and advised them and journeyed with them and prayed with them. And when I say family members, I'm not talking about her immediate family. No, this fellowship, this foundation that she'd established, she regarded everybody involved in it to be part of one family. And she committed her life to them. During that time as an invalid, she wrote, and she wrote prolifically. She wrote another 14 books in that 20-year period. She wrote songs, she wrote hymns, and she wrote letters to the family members, these children, to help them through their lives as she walked with them. And throughout her life, there was a kind of constant theme, a message that underpinned it all. And it was the message that Paul was giving to the church that he was writing to. We are saved to serve. It's what our lives are about. And she lived out that theme until she died in January in 1951. What about you? What about us as we go in further into 2023? I want to encourage you to do a number of things. First, you've got internet, you've got opportunities. Google, read about the story, read the quotes, read something of the depth of the faithfulness of the life of Amy Carmichael. Be inspired by it. Ask God to speak to you in it. But secondly, ask yourself the question, maybe in a morning, first thing when you get up, Lord, what do you want to show me today? Not just in the big stuff, the weddings, the wakes, the challenges that you go through, but the everyday. I want to invite you, ask the Lord, open my eyes so that I can start to see your perspective in everything, to see you and invite you into everything. And then whether it's before or after you dive into that bowl of cornflakes and put some more honey on the toast, whatever it is you have for breakfast, give God an opportunity to speak to you. I want to encourage you to open God's word and just invite him to speak into your life every day. And then use the people around you, the people you're with today. Make it an opportunity to be with us. Join us as we pray, as we just together help one another do exactly this. Bathe ourselves in the presence of God and learn to step deeper into relationship with him. Take the opportunities. Let me pray for us as we take our next step into whatever God is going to lead us through, that we will know his peace and his presence this year in new, deeper ways.